seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the book of Judges, chapter 5, and the last part of verse 6. The book of Judges, chapter 5, and the last part of verse 6. And the travellers walked through byways. The book of Judges, chapter 5, and the last part of verse 6. And the travellers walked through byways. What directed me to this word was when I awoke yesterday morning, the verse of the hymn we hope to close with dropped in with a measure of sweetness and power. Ye are travelling home to God in the way your fathers trod. They are happy now, and ye soon their happiness shall see. And immediately it set my heart to think of us travelling, each one of us. And as I thought on this, this word seemed to rest upon me. And the travellers walked through byways. I want to firstly look a little at the travelling, and then through these byways. But as we begin, let us remember a little of what circumstance they were in, the children of Israel here. The Lord enabled Deborah and Barak to sound forth the praises of God because the Lord had delivered them from the hand of Jabin, the king of the Canaanites. And Israel had been set free from his power. It's a wonderful thing when we've got something to sing about. There's ever so much, and the children of Israel experienced it, to cause sadness and sorrow. But you know, that's not always the experience of God's dear people. They know both sides. They know the sorrows because of their sins. They know the sorrows because of the troubles and the afflictions and the distresses they have to walk through, and the hidings of the Lord's face. There's much today, isn't there, when we think of the solemn state the nation is in, the Church of God is in. And when we think of all the persecution there is going on throughout the earth, there's much to make us sad. But are there not those things we can sing over? Because we read here, then sang Deborah and Barak. They could praise ye the Lord for avenging Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. And so as you begin today and we think of this word, do we know something of that singing? Well, we think too of so many in the Word of God that knew so much sadness, but you know, they didn't always live in that. They knew the other side, where they could sing forth the praises of their God. But I want to look at this travelling. And the travellers walked through byways. You know, each one of us, whether we realise it or not, are travelling. We're travelling through life. We're travelling to eternity. There's no escaping that. There may be many things we will escape here in time, but we shall never escape the great day of death, and we shall never escape eternity. But as we are travelling, where are we travelling to? We are either travelling to heaven, or we're travelling to hell. There's no middle path. And does it exercise your heart and mine that we are travelling home to God? Does it concern us that we might be amongst those that travel home to heaven? But it concerns the real child of God, lest they should be travelling in the path that leads down to hell. But as we travel, there are the one or two ways. There's the broad way, Jesus said, that leads to destruction. The narrow way that leads unto life. And each of us are either in one or the other. We are travelling. And the travellers walk through byways. But if we're travelling to either heaven or hell, we have had to leave the shore. The Christian navigates the shore. The world, the ungodly, they are travelling to eternity. But they've never left the destination they started in. They're still sunk in sin and sunk in wickedness and will live in it till they breathe their last breath. It's a solemn thought, isn't it? But they're travelling. Every breath they draw, they travel, and so do we. But with the children of Israel, as they were to travel to Canaan, the promised land, they had to leave ever so much, didn't they? They had to leave the land of Egypt. They didn't bring themselves out of it. The Lord brought them out of the grip of Pharaoh and his land, and he put them in the wilderness journey. And through that wilderness journey they had to travel. One of our hymns says, we are but travellers yet. And we will be until we breathe our last breath. I've said to you before that George Rose used to say whenever he took a funeral, he said, you know, when the world die, they are leaving home because their home is here. They're leaving it. With the child of God, when they die, they're going home. Their home's not here. It's in heaven, to be with the Lord Jesus forever. Oh, to be found then travelling home to God, going to our eternal resting place. But as they travelled, and they didn't put themselves in that narrow way through the wilderness, the Lord put them in it. It's a wonderful mercy if he's put us in that narrow way that leads unto life, isn't it? And if we're in that narrow way, we shall have to travel through it. But for travelling, there are various things we need. And the child of God needs. First of all, we need living faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. You see, the trouble with the children of Israel was, and so often it's the trouble with us, isn't it? Because of their unbelief, they didn't keep the land in view. Canaan. They were looking at this, looking at that, looking at the roughness of the journey through the wilderness. You know, living faith will ever seek to keep the land in view. I often quote that beautiful word in Proverbs, don't I? And it's a very precious word. Your late beloved pastor used to often quote it. And it's this. Let, and that means don't hinder it, let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids straight before thee. In other words, they were to keep the land in view, looking right on. And that's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord gives us that faith to keep our eyes on the promised land. And our eyelids straight before us. That is to say, not looking at everything else, turning to the right hand or to the left, looking right on. But then it's keeping Christ in view, you see. For us to travel, we need to keep the dear Redeemer in view. Why? Because he's gone before his dear people. We read that when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And does it concern you and me this morning as we seek to look at this and think of the travelling through this wilderness journey? That we might keep Christ in view. And for us to keep Christ in view, we must have faith. The world and ungodly wouldn't be able to understand what it meant to keep Christ in view, but the child of God does, because it's he that goes before them. I think that beautiful word the Lord spoke to Moses. I will make all my goodness pass before thee in the way. And you know, when you can see the Lord going before you and keeping his goodness before you, oh, you're about to press on through this journey, won't you, of travelling? Ye are travelling home to God. But then, the second thing we shall need in this travelling is the sweet presence of the Lord to be with us. You know, when the Lord puts his dear people in the narrow way that leads unto life, not only does he go before them, but he goes with them. And we have so many sacred evidences of it, don't we, in the Word of God, where the Lord has promised to travel with his dear people, go with them. We think of that beautiful word the Lord spoke through Moses to Joshua. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. But that wasn't all, was it? That was vital. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. So as we travel, may the Lord favour us to feel and to know His sweet presence going with us. There again we go back to Moses. That same blessed chapter that the word was in, I quoted just now. And what did the Lord say to him? He said to him, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." You know, it's wonderful, really. The child of God doesn't have to walk alone, you see, the Lord being with them. We know there are times where you feel to be alone, where the Lord withdraws His presence. And He often withdraws His presence because of our sin, because of our unbelief, because of our unexercised state. And He makes us feel to walk alone. If you look further into God's word, how many times the Lord speaks of being with His people. And this is what you want to feel. What did Moses go on to answer the Lord? "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." In other words, he didn't want to go just himself, did he? I so often feel and plead it with the Lord every time I go in a pulpit up and down this land or wherever in the earth, "Lord, don't let me go alone." You know, it'll never be profitable if we go into anything of on our own, ourselves. We need the Lord to go with us. And that's what'll make it prosperous. Oh, it is. If we start to go alone, our sin and of ourselves, we shall soon be brought into complete darkness and bondage. So the word tells us, and the travellers walk through byways. But then, for us to think further of the presence of the Lord, we think of the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. You look how the Lord was with them in it. I love that account, you know. It's so manifested there. The Lord was with them in it. And that's why the flames couldn't destroy them, could they? They came out without even the smell of smoke upon them. So sacred was the presence of the Lord with them. It could not touch them. We often fear when we come into fires, don't we? The fires of affliction, of temptation, the bitter fires of opposition from Satan, the flames are going to destroy us. But what does the hymn writer say? "Thy dross to consume, but thy gold to refine." And if the Lord's given you a little gold to come through with, poor soul, He'll be with you. You think how the Lord was with Job in all that he had to go through. Satan couldn't destroy Job's life, could he? The Lord said to him, "But touch not his life." The Lord was with him. And you see, if the Lord is with us, He will protect us. We need, don't we, continual protection. The way for the wilderness journey with the children of Israel was dangerous. There were many serpents, there were many scorpions, there was many dangers, there was many enemies. But the Lord was with them. preserving them, protecting them, watching over them. What does the hymn writer say? A sovereign protector I have, unseen, yet forever at hand. But then, for us to journey, to travel, we need guidance. Heavenly guidance. The hymn writer said, oh, where shall I find a guide to direct, right skillful and kind and brave to protect? And you see, if the Lord is with us, he will guide us. Well, look at the children of Israel, if I may just pause again with God in them. As they journeyed through the wilderness, what did the Lord do? He didn't just set them out in that journey and leave them to their own devices, did he? How to get to the promised land, he was with them to guide them. And what did he do? He set before them the fiery, cloudy pillar. Now, as that cloud moved, so the children of Israel had to move. The Lord was in that cloud. It gave light to them in the night. It directed them in the day. They had to keep their eyes fixed on the cloud. And as the cloud moved, so did they. They could travel. Because the cloud was to guide them and to lead them, to direct them. And you know, the Lord has wonderfully given his sacred holy word to guide and to direct his dear people. If you want to know in any matter what to do, poor soul, in travelling in this narrow way, you go to the Word of God. How many times when the Lord's dear people have known not what to do, and they've gone to the Word of God, and the Lord has wonderfully shown them. And it's right up to date, you know. It tells us exactly what to do and will do to the end of time. And this is what makes the Word of God very precious, or one of the things that makes it very precious to the Lord's dear children, because in it is everything they need, both for time and for eternity. But then the Lord in these gospel days uses so often his servants as the messengers to guide, to direct his dear people. How many times when you're in need and you go up to the house of God, and it may be the text or it may be some sentence in the discourse and the Holy Spirit applies it to you, and you know immediately what to do. And that is very humbling. And is very supporting to the child of God. To be guided by the Lord. It's a good prayer in that sacred hymn we sometimes sing, isn't it? Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. We are weak, but thou art mighty. Hold us by thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed us now and evermore. You see, the Lord taught the psalmist to continually pray for the Lord to guide him and to lead him. You dear young ones, regarding the steps of providence, regarding the future, regarding a husband, regarding a wife, whatever it may be, oh, go to the God of heaven to guide you in it. And what is so wonderful about the guidance of the Lord is this. He never makes a mistake. You know, we make ever so many. The children of Israel made ever so many mistakes, didn't they? We look back sometimes and we think of all the mistakes we made. But you know, the Lord never makes a mistake. What he does, the hymn writer said, is ever best. Oh, it is. And the travellers walk through byways. But too, for travelling, we need food, don't we? We just quoted in that beautiful verse of the hymn, the need of feeding. Now, the world feed upon its pleasures. They are travelling, and they feed upon the things of time. But they need natural food, just as the child of God does. But you see, the child of God doesn't just feed on natural things. It's right we feed upon natural food for the nourishment of our bodies. But you know, there's two things I want to just look at here. The first is this. So often with the real children of God that are travelling, they need the Lord to supply their need. To give them that food each day, even naturally, we know in these days for the most part of plenty, we're not like our godly forefathers. I've been reading some of the accounts of some of the old saints, you know, and they had to pray for every meal that the Lord had provided and provide for their children. The apostle knew it well. He said, I've learned how to abound and I know how to suffer need. But you look how wonderfully the Lord provided. You look at the feeding of the 5,000, how the Lord provided for them as they travelled. None of them went home hungry, did they? And look how he provided for Elijah, both at the brook Cherith, and then when the brook dried up, behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And you look how the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. The Lord supplied their need. But with the child of God, they need heavenly food. Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord doth man live. We need that heavenly provender, don't we? And oh, how when the Lord speaks a word, it may be a promise, it may be a word of direction or of comfort, what food there is in it to a hungry soul, because it's everything to them. And what makes it food to them is because those precious words are full of the Lord Jesus, a precious Christ. The promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And so as these travellers go on, they need the food from heaven. They feed upon his word. They feed upon his sufferings. They feed upon his death, as the Holy Spirit leads them into it. Oh, to be led to Calvary. And how many have fed upon those precious words the Saviour spoke there on Calvary's tree. It is finished. Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And so we may name many things. This day shalt thou be with me in paradise. Their food for hungry souls. The world has its natural appetite, but the child of God has an appetite for the precious word of God. The world don't have it, do they? And we need to bless the Lord if he's given us that appetite. Oh, we do. And the travellers walk through byways. But then, as we travel, there are times we're ever so weak. In two ways. First of all, through the afflictions of the journey. Many of us are taught our weaknesses. But then secondly, we're so often weak in faith, aren't we? Weak in hope, weak in love. And so what we need is the Lord to strengthen us, both in body, in mind, and too in soul. The apostle, you know, he said to the Philippians, that sacred word, I can do all things, but how could he do them? Not in and of himself. Because he knew ever so much of his weakness, but through Christ that strengtheneth me. And oh, how wonderful it is when the Lord is pleased to give these travellers strength to journey on. We can't journey on naturally without strength, can we? And we certainly can't spiritually. The Lord is the strength of his people. And what seemed to come to me as I named this is this. You know, the more we know our weakness, the more dependent we'll be upon the Lord that we might travel. We have to lean upon him. That's what seems to drop in, so I will name it. You know, the spouse in the Song of Solomon, when she came up from the wilderness, where was she leaning? Well, let's bring it right home to each of us. Where are we leaning this morning? Are we like the bride of Christ, leaning upon her beloved? Now, as we travel, oh, to have somewhere to lean. The hymn writer said about it, leaning on all sufficient grace. Leaning upon the promises of God. Oh, have you got a word that you can lean on? The old preachers used to often speak of a young person with a walking stick. You know, when a young person, a child or a young person's given a walking stick, they don't have to walk with it, do they? They swing it around. They just make use of it as an ornament. But you give it to an old person. There's many an old saint that needs that walking stick to walk with naturally. They can lean on it, you see. They need it. Well, think about the promises of God. The old preachers used to say, you often have a young person and the Lord may speak a promise to them. They swing it around, they tell everybody about it. But they used to go on to this. When that soul gets old, they have to lean on the promise. They can't swing it around now. They've got to lean on it. And think about leaning on the Lord this morning. Oh, to be found leaning upon him. Thy whole dependence on me fix. Where are you leaning now? Are you leaning on an arm of flesh? What does it say in the word of God? It tells us, lean not to thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. But there's many other things we need for this travelling, aren't there? That I've not named. We need grace. Oh, the need of grace to continue in this journey, travelling. What do we read? Was it not Moses said to his father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And you know, if the Lord's put you in that narrow way, you desire like he did concerning his father-in-law, that he would go with him. But we don't read he ever did. Think how solemn. And the travellers walked through byways. I just want a brief word about these byways, because that really interested me when this text came. There was a reason, and I just want to hint at it, why they had to walk in the byways. Because it says the highways were unoccupied. The reason why the highways weren't occupied was because they were full of thieves and robbers. And anybody that went down those highways was stopped and robbed. And so, why did they walk in the byways? Because there they were safe. But there's a wonderful meaning to this byways. The margin tells us, crooked ways. And really, that so often describes the things that the real child of God has to walk through. Many crooked things. There may be things that you're walking in this morning, and they seem so crooked to you. But what does the hymn writer say? Crooked things made even. The Lord promised his dear children, didn't he, in the prophecy of Isaiah, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make the crooked things straight, and the rough places plain, and the darkness light. And then he endorses it with this, these things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. It's a beautiful word that is, isn't it? You look how comprehensive it is, but think of these crooked ways. You know, to the natural man, with many of the things that God's children have to walk through, the natural man cannot understand them. But to faith, it is blessed. The Lord brings his people into crooked things to make them cry unto him, to make them look to him, to make them cast all their cares upon them. Lord, it's so crooked we cannot understand it. But give us that understanding and the eye of faith to see the hand of the Lord in it. So these travellers walked through byways, through crooked things. But what did they experience in those crooked things? The Lord was to make them straight. Oh, he was. We read in Ecclesiastes, the word from heaven, don't we? Who can make straight that which God hath made crooked? They cannot. Man can never straighten it out, but the Lord can make the crooked things straight. And the rough places plain. And there are so many promises that the Lord would do this, isn't there? That's how you think of it this morning, those of you that may be walking in this narrow way and there seems so many crooked things. Well, poor soul, go to the God of heaven who can make and has promised to make the crooked things straight. But then there's all our sin, isn't there? There's all our unbelief that weighs us down. And, oh, to be found looking unto Jesus as we travel this way. Well, I've hinted around a few things in this morning. May the Holy Spirit put us in this way, the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. May we be amongst those that are travelling home to God, and may we be found walking in these byways. You see, the world goes on in its way, and so often is found in the highways, many go down. But you see, for the child of God, they must be found in that narrow way that leads unto life. And few there be that find it. And there are but few. And the Lord knows them that are his, but are to be found in it. May it be the constant concern, and that we may be real travellers walking through this wilderness. Well, much could be said further, but I'll leave it for your meditation. The Lord knows why we brought it here this morning, and may it be of some comfort to each of our souls, for his name's sake. Amen.